Hello, I'm Regina Botras, and this is Backstage, where we talk with the who's who on stage, in dance, comedy, and performing arts, speaking with the leading theatre makers of our times and how they came to the stage and what drives them and inspires them. My guest is Thomas E.S. Kelly, choreographer, writer, and director of Silence, coming to the Opera House as part of the new Unwrapped season. He's an award-winning choreographer. He studied at NAES de Dance College, graduating in 2012. He's an artist that works with multiple art forms, including choreography, dance, theatre, music composition, puppetry, and teaching. He's the co-founder and artistic director of Carol Projects. And his work offers audiences an opportunity to learn about Aboriginal Australia and where that fits into the modern world. And I think his work coming up is no exception. It's a way to acknowledge the past, understand the present, and to better the future. Welcome to Stages, Thomas.
Kingriwala, thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on. Look, I am talking to you and you are all the way over the other side of the country at the moment in rehearsals. Silence, I mean, I love the concept, and I think about, you know, silence in radio and how, what that space is that is in between. But what is this work for you?
Yeah, this work is a huge work. It's all about the continuing conversation of a treaty. And mostly about the fact that we don't have one and we've never had one. And Australia is the only Commonwealth that's never had one with its First Nations people. And any time that the conversation between the government and First Nations Australia, like, well, you know, what do you mob want, and what are you looking for? And, you know, in the requests, the treaty conversation is always on there. And it's always pushed off the table and it tries to get swept under the rug. And so I was making this work in 2018. At the end of 2018 was the first development of it. And in 2019, more developments. And it premiered in 2020. It was the anniversary of Cook 250. It was kind of a bit more of a work to continue that conversation. When I spoke to some of my mentors about wanting to do a work about treaty, they were like, well, we done works about this 20, 30, 40 years ago. And I thought, and how crap that we could still do a work about treaty today and it'd be just as relevant. So this is kind of, it's a work to continue the conversation, to highlight the conversation, to also talk about what a treaty could be, because I am also aware that both Indigenous and non-Indigenous, the question about what exactly a treaty is there. So this show is about continuing the conversation of a treaty, making it the beginning for a lot of people, the opening dialogue into what a treaty could be. And it's all about, you know, not letting the conversation be silent. And to do that, there is our two main images is this space in between moments. So the stars and the sky, the emu in the sky, it's not made up of the stars. It's made up of the space in between. And so this kind of concept of sometimes when we're talking about what we want or what we need, and from politician's side of things, is that there's all this talk and it's like, yeah, but I'm not interested in that. What's not being said? What, that's the conversation that sometimes needs to be heard. And there's people talking about it, but it's getting outshone by those stars. And actually, if you just look beyond, then you see the image. And the other thing is the cut. So in traditional dance, which I grew up doing, because myself is a proud Minyimbul Yugambeh Rajri and Nivanwatu man, growing up on my grandmother's country, in Minyimbul country in southeast Queensland and northern New South Wales, I grew up doing traditional dance, and I always learned about the cut is what my family says is the most important part of cultural dancing. Everyone's dancing, and then the moment when everyone hits and hits a moment and kind of there's stillness for a brief moment, that's the most, that can be the most powerful moment of the dance, because in that stillness, you see everyone who's performing, physical and ancestral. And so this moment of, it's not everything that's happening, it's when nothing is happening, is when you see everything. And so those two imageries coming into silence, what's the conversations not being had? What are the conversations we need to keep moving forward? Everyone needs to know about, because That's what I believe is what's really going to change the country for both First Nations and non-First Nations, when we have an agreement on how we coexist and how we beat it. Because I've read some draft treaties from the 70s and the 80s, and I was just blown away by what I was reading and going, wow, Australia, what could be for us if one of these was implemented? Like, there's, yes, a lot of benefits for Indigenous Australia, but so many benefits for non-Indigenous Australia, so many benefits for environmental Australia, for low socioeconomic, middle ground, high socioeconomic. Like, it really, there's a lot of benefits for everybody on how we could be and how, and then I feel like that would really strengthen our identity as a country, not bringing out all the Indigenous art when we have big dignitaries coming or the games or anything, but actually embedding it as a part of who we are for all of us to understand and be a part of it. And so, yeah, that's in a small, maybe medium-sized nutshell, what science is about.
There is so much in there to discuss. First of all, is it just, are we talking dance with spoken word? Like, what is the medium you're using to tell the story, firstly?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, I grew up doing traditional dance.
Yeah.
And then I went and studied at NAISDA Dance College, and my partner at the time, who is now my wife, my girlfriend at the time, now my wife, she's also a graduate from NAISDA Dance College. Tari Sansbury is her name, and she's a Ngunnawal Yinarunga Kaurna woman, so South Australia.
Mm-hmm.
We started Kurl with and there's a couple of other friends that are around us when we started it, but we chose Kurl's name because it means everything from the Yugambeh dialect, because we will use everything we need to use to tell whatever story needs to be told.
Okay.
That's also a little cheeky way to say, I just want to be an actor and a dancer and a singer, and I want to be all the everythings. And dance is our main vehicle that we use to drive the story. But I've written, there's quite a few talking sections that I've written and directed into the work. We have a live drummer in this space on stage throughout the whole show. And, you know, working with them to create these drives to these drums to drive home the heartbeat of country throughout the whole show, to keep it ever present. And also the songs that I wrote in the show that we use. So I use everything that I think needs to be. Yes, dance is the main one, but I also think about my audiences. I know that there's people who contemporary dance is not the easiest thing to understand. I mean, I've been a contemporary dancer for a while now, and I see shows that I still don't understand. And I find that sometimes bringing in text and bringing in the song and making people understand this world that I've created from different perspectives helps people really understand what the message that I'm trying to share is.
Mm.
So in the text, there's hard-hitting statements. There's humor. I love using humor. If people are laughing, they're listening. So putting humor in there, seeing incredible physicality from the dancers. I also make everyone do everything. You know, the drummer was a strict drummer in the beginning, or musician, I should say. He's one of those people that can play anything. Mm-hmm. And then at one point I was like, oh, just come and do this. And I'll just mumble some lines to you, act like you're a little bit crazy, or do this, or do that. And then I'm coming in, I'm like, here's a script for you. And him just being like, wait, what? And then I'm like, I think you could say some lines, and then putting back behind the drums. And then I remember when we were making, and I paused all the dancers and I looked back at him and I was like, I'm tired of you standing behind the drums. Come over here. And he was like, what? And now he's in a dance section, and then he goes back and drums. So like, everyone has a moment of doing everything in the work. And, you know, it's seven strong First Nations people on stage telling the story. I mean, we're storytellers using dance, using text, using song, you know. It's still one of the works of mine that I watch and kind of go, wow, did I make this? Like, with my collaborators, of course, and everybody in there, but this thing of like going, wow, did this come out of my mind? I'm really proud of this work. And it's been incredible, the response we've gotten from it. It's toured, you know, nationally. We thought it was done last year, and then all of a sudden it's been picked up again. And as you mentioned, we're on the West Coast, so we're here remounting in Borloo, Perth, for a season over here on Whadjuk Noongar country, which we then move across to the Sydney Opera House straight up after it. And just kind of, it's blowing my mind that the strength of this story and you know, letting it be guided by everybody and the ancestors. And yeah, it's so amazing.
Mm, it does sound terrific. And I love that, you know, I mean, I'm contemporary dance history, but I love that it can close the audience down as well. And like, cause there are people that love dance, but then they're like, oh, I don't understand it. So it means that you can reach, sort of that broader audience, in that way. Cause dance is so much about feeling and that kind of, oh, I don't know, world of the emotion. Whereas, yeah, when you're kind of delivering, and especially, I suppose, you were talking about those old treaties from the 70s and 80s. Are you integrating some of that text from what you found? And what did you find?
Yeah, I mean, they're quite big and quite large. And we also had a few people come and join us in the space as we were making it. And some of our you know, early political fighters. And one person, Uncle Richard Bell, who's also an incredible artist, you know, amazing. He came and joined us, and he said something once. I gave him, I kind of wrote like a document of about seven, eight points on there, which is kind of like, they're my treaty points that I first want to start with, that it kind of became like the section headings for the show. It's kind of become this is the show that we're representing and showing.
And what are they?
Well, there's a little, you have to come to the show and find that one out.
Because one of them.
Well, we talk about Enshrine, having our voice at the table, yes. Which in a different, like, kind of like what the voice referendum happened, but in a different way. I mean, because this work was made before the voice even was the being publicly thought up, I should say. I'm sure it was in the works, but the work is always about a treaty. And if it came down to the two, if I had to pick between the voice and the treaty, I was always pro-treaty first. But talking about having that voice at the table, we're talking about having our representative and our history taught in the schools and having that truth telling, talking about land, giving land back and being able to work with that in a culturally safe space. We're talking about looking after nature. That's one of the things that's in there is the rules around how we look after country for everybody, you know, with the, you know, eliminate, because we come from the land, we belong to the land. So all these kind of little points we've got. Actually, when you come to the show, we're hoping to have a document, the one page document which is called Coral Project's Treaty.
Wow.
And then it has those listed on the treaty and my signature at the bottom to say that this is our treaty. And when he read that, he was like, just so you know, that's not a treaty. That's like a treaty for beginners. It's just the beginning, which I totally was like, yeah, cause it's a one page document with about 7-8 points on it. It's not a full 60-70-80-100 page document outlining everything, and so that's when it really became of going, I can't talk about what a whole treaty could be in a show because we'd be here for hours. But this is really the introduction. It is about when people come who might, they know the word treaty but don't exactly know what it means. This is when you leave, if you go, oh yeah, I saw Silence, it was amazing and incredible, assuming that that's your thoughts, and someone's like, what was it about? And you said it was a treaty, and they're like, so what is a treaty? They could then give a couple of talking points around what a treaty could be. At the same time, we're also showing the representation, the fighting that we've had, in the imagery of the you know, standing up for ourselves through time, both in a cultural, in a political, in the sports arena, on country, in the cities, all that kind of showing of the what we've had to overcome to get to where we are as well, and what we're constantly still pushing against. So it's this really, I've tried to really work with crafting the show to represent what we've been fighting against, what we're still fighting against, and where we could go, all through this through line of a treaty.
And it sounds like, you know, you were talking about, well, the silence, the in between the stars makes the image fuller, I suppose. But also thinking about knowledge and, for example, the voice and that sort of division or you know what you know, but what don't you know? And I think that's what you're talking about. It's that all that in-between stuff.
Absolutely. And if someone, like when we're trying to find out information, and if there's that one person who's getting the airtime and they're just blasting everything, whatever side, then that question of like, hold on, what's not being said though? What's that? You're really caught up. Both of you are fighting over this thing, but what's down here? What should we be listening to? And that's really hard, because that's the hard thing, because then you, it can, there's so many ways that that can spiral out as well. And it's, but it's that, you know, for me, it's all about taking the time, you know, don't listen to one thing. Let's sit. And so my thing, like calling for a treaty, I'm very aware that maybe the agreement that happens between the Commonwealth of Australia and First Nations Australia might not be a treaty. It might be a different thing that's existed, or it might be something that's never existed. We might have the opportunity to create a whole new thing that doesn't even fall. But what we need is, you need everyone to come to the table sincerely. We need the conversation to actually happen and continue to actually want it and to want it to happen. Until that happens, because I don't think we fully have wanted it to happen. And that's why we need to keep it happening. Because if no one talks about it, then it just does get forgotten about.
And I think that's why it's so great that, yeah, that it is coming back, you know, into the conversation, that isn't just dropped. Do you think words kind of get in the way as well? Like the word treaty sort of gets in the way, or the word, the voice gets in the way of the meaning?
I do think it's good to call it what it is. Like, it is, like, I am talking about a treaty.
Yeah.
And I do, and that is what we're about.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is, when things get grouped together, things start to get a little bit difficult. You know, the show is not about the voice.
Yeah.
It was never about the voice. And last year, when we were nationally touring, which was all set up before even the voice was locked in,
yeah,
knowing that the conversations changed around, and me having to kind of acknowledge that, but also just remain strong and going, just a reminder, this is not about. So that kind of, because these are the triggering words. Treaty is this thing with government and First Nations. The voice was this thing between government and First Nations. Reconciliation, all that type of stuff between treaty and between governments and First Nations. So there is that grouping that makes things, but I'm very comfortable in where I stand with the show, what the show says. Like, when you come and see the show, I'm pretty confident, based on how much we've done it and everyone's response, there's no confusion at what this show is about.
Mm.
I very much think of audience when I make works. I'm very considerate in making sure that the audience is with me throughout the whole work. I don't forget the audience. I'm telling a story. I want everyone to understand the story. I want people to be with me from start to finish. So through working with my collaborative team and my artists and myself, they're very much making sure we hold the audience. And even when we maybe punch some moments, then there's moments where we pull it together and, okay, you might not have understood this bit, but this bit comes in. So with the words and crafting it, not handing it on a platter, I still make people think for themselves. But that's very important for me, is that people come and they leave knowing what happened.
And I love that, you know, there's this sort of, you're taking something away, you kind of come out with more of an ability to talk about the issues that you're talking about. But talking about the issues that you're talking about, how are you setting that story? Like, what is the world we're inside?
Yeah, it's a very special world. There's like, there's three main sections in the work. And the first section is what we call law. And in a sense, that's kind of who we are and who we've always been, almost like a three colonial ships arriving, in a sense. And then we go into our next section, which is treaty, which is now we're really diving into what a treaty is and what it could be. And then we, our last section is called Always Was. And that's the, and that's this moment of we're going to continue the resilience. You're going to see us keep pushing forward. You know, everything that was and will continue to be. And if we get told that a treaty is off the table now, you know, we will be at the next march. We'll be at the next being proud of who we are. That's not going to be forgotten. So there's this kind of three moments of like before and right now and into the future, which is I think crafted really well with the drums and the text and the dancing. There is this whole kind of costume choreography that happens of layers, because this is a very, there's a lot of layers to and complexities to the to these conversations. But I think done in a way that's, it's, you know, working with my costume designer at the time, Celine Cochran, and kind of going, I'm thinking this and I'm thinking that, and then going, well, like, you know, bringing all these different things to the table and let's do that. And I'll make this and we'll put this on. It was incredible. And then, you know, we do talk about country giving back, and we begin to, you know, I guess a little spoiler in a sense, if you use it, to, you know, little pockets of dirt start to appear and they get bigger and bigger and bigger. And then eventually there's this, we engulf the stage in dirt as a sense of reclaiming country. So, which has always been a beautiful image of looking at this kind of very, you very much know you're in a theater, but then I feel like as time goes, the theater gets transformed into country, which is a really something that I just remember having the idea and then saying it to my team and like the production manager just looking at me being like, yeah, cool, we can do that.
Yay.
And that was probably even the first time in my career of having someone else be like, let's do it. And it was, it's probably one of my most favorite. It's a hard image to see because I get to see it all the time when I get to watch the show from start to finish. I mean, I'm in the work, but when I watch the videos, seeing it over time change, this kind of time lapse happen of reclaiming country, I think is really beautiful moment. So there's a lot in the work. The other thing about my stuff, I have a new physicality. It's a new technique that I've been developing over my career. I've had a very interesting career pathways of who I've performed for, and as a First Nation artist, it's not many have had what I've had. I didn't go into like coming out of NAISDA, but I didn't get to follow the big path of going through places like Bangarra or anything like that. I ended up working with a bunch of different other companies and starting to make my own work early on. So I had this physicality, which I'm pretty confidently saying is unique and different. No one else has it. And from that, it's, I think what you, when you come and see Silence, when you see Coral, you're seeing this, another new way of contemporary dance storytelling in Australia.
It sounds like, I mean, quite poignant in that we are the kind of culmination of our experiences over time. Is that, I mean, and I was going to ask you about time. I mean, you mentioned that with the dirt and this sort of progression. And the first thing I thought is, what do the theatre think when you bring in this idea of like you fall with dirt at the end and then return again? But time, though, within the work, are we in the physical style and in the visual style, apart from the dirt, is it kind of transpiring or traversing time as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think that is kind of clear with some of the imagery we use. I mean, we use images of like Vincent Ninyari having the dirt returned to him from Prime Minister Gough Whitlam. That was taken by Uncle Mervyn Bishop, that image, and, you know, showcasing that image physically. And then also images of, you know, both Goodsy and Nikki Winmar, you know, lifting the shirt up and showcasing their body. And, you know, we have these different images that come at different points. This is that moment that I was saying of, you know, the resistance and the perseverance and resilience that First Nations Australia has overcome. So we have this, I feel like there's very much this moment of of time, of past, present, and future. There's this moment of right now, and then there's these little glimpses of like these vignettes of different moments that have happened in even contemporary First Nations Australia that I think really, and then held together with the text and the dancing and the humour, like the it's all in there. Everything's in here.
I was going to ask you, like, how do you bring humour into it? Is it in the personal or the relationship or like, yeah, well, how does, I mean, whether you can deconstruct that or not, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, it comes from play. I mean, I think we like having a good time, and I like to, you know, there's some important issues in here, and it's not to say that we laugh just to get rid of them, but it's like it's a way to hold us all together. And yeah, it's crafted in there both through the movement. There is physical humor.
Yeah,
there is text humor. It's all in there.
Is it changing all the time then?
Always changing. The story's always growing. I think that the day that I jump back into a remount or into a session and don't change it is probably the day that I think the story is ready to be rested.
Mm-hmm.
And that hasn't come yet.
Oh, geez. Well, I hope it does. So you mentioned images. So is it film? Is it just still images? Like, and how are they working in the space?
All with the physical bodies. Everything's all with the physical. Okay. I'm very, very simple with set. I'm not huge on set. I love the body telling the story.
Okay.
I love seeing it physically. You know, the seven performers, it's a decent sized ensemble. I'm quite large, my body itself. I'm 6'3". And so there's a lot of us on stage, and we showcase the imagery physically.
Okay. Thomas, thank you so much. It just sounds so exciting. I can't wait. Thank you so much for joining me and taking me into the world.
No, thank you so much. Thanks for having me. Good timing. I have to go make sure that they're still rehearsing while I'm not in the space.
Get back in the studio. Thank you again, Thomas. It's been such a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you.
That was Thomas E.S. Kelly, the choreographer, performer, just incredible sounding production, that Silence, on at the Sydney Opera House in the studio from the 8th till the 11th of May. Physical, humorous soundtrack, Silence, of this 250 plus year struggle. Look, it sounds like one you've just got to get to see to come away with hopefully some deeper understanding. I'm Regina Bochos. This has been such a pleasure.